Philo Torah Zoom shiur for the sixth day of Mar Cheshvan, 5785-86, corresponding this year to October 28th. When I used to broadcast from Arut Sheva's studio in Beit El, they had a button on the console for a sneeze. So if you felt a sneeze coming on, you hit that button, you sneezed, and it didn't go over the air. So I kept using that, and they said, oh, by the way, that button doesn't work. So that was that. Tehillim Kuf, Mizmor Latoda, Hariu Adonai Kol Haaretz, Ivdu et Adonai Besimcha, Ba'u Nav Bir Nana, De'u Ki Adonai Hu Elohim, Hu Asanu, Velo Anachnu, Amo Vitzon Marito, Ba'u Sha'arav Betoda, Chatzerotav Betehila, Hodu Lo Baruchu Shemo, Ki Tov Adonai Leolam Chasto, Va'ador Vador Emunato. Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir Lama Alot Esai Nael Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'ima Adonai Yose Shamayim Ka'aret. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomerecha. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yeminecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakecha, V'Yareach B'Loyla, Adonai Yishmarcha Mikol Ra, Yishmar Et Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmar Tzeizcha, Kuf Lamed, Shir Akim Kratiha Adonai Adonai Shema Li Tihyena Aznecha Kashuvot Lekol Tachanunai Im Avodo Tishmor Ya Adonai Mia Amod Kiyimecha Hasalicha Laman Tivare Kiviti Adonai Kivata Nafshi Velit Baro Hoti Kiyil Adonai Mishomerim Laboker Shomerim Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Kimat Mayachesed Vaharbeimo Fedut Vehu Yifte et Yisrael Mikol Mark
Mishabirach Avosenu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov Hu Yivarech Es Chayalei Tzava Haganali Yisrael Vesanchei Kochus Habitachon Haomedim Al Mishmar Artinu Ve'arei Eloheinu Ve'halochamim Ba'adenu Min HaLevanon Ve'abibar Mitzrayim Min Hayam HaGadol Ad Lvo HaRava U'kol Makom Shehem Ba'yabasha Ba'avir U'bayam Yitein Adonai Esraelinu Hakamim Aleinu Nigafim Liknehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmor Ve'atzil Es Chayalinu Mikol Tzara Betuka U'mikol Nega U'machala Ve'yishlach Baruch Ha'vahaslacha B'chol Ma'asei Yadeihem Yad Ber Sona Enu Tachtehem, the Atarim Becheser Yeshua Uvateres Nitzachon, the Kuyam Bahem Hakasu, the Adonai Elohechem, Paholech Imachem Lehilachem Lachem, Imoyevechem Lahoshiaschem, Benomar Amen.
David.
Avarachim Shechem Romim, Uyifko Barachim Es Achenu Shenegro Akidish Hashem Ha'am Vaharetz, Yiskrem Elohim Latova Imshart Sadike Olam. The VA Mehera Lateva Yisrael, Kamosha Nemar, Vel Amo Tvienu, Yanuchu Bishalom, Mishkavosam, and Omar Amen.
Amen.
Together. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, Tunim Bachalom, Medin, Bain Bayam, Bain Bayabasha, Vain Baavir, Hamakom Yerachim Alehem,
Siem Sara Leva,
Tome Afela, Laura. Good Lagula, Hashta Bagala, Uzman Kariv, Vinomar
Amen.
Okay, this is going to be a little difficult because of my cold. I developed it yesterday, so I never ended up going to the Pinyon Haben because I didn't get sick there. After canceling the shiur and moving it to today. So Anyway, behind me you see two paper cuts framed. The one there, I don't know, that's on my right, it might be your left, I don't
Left.
know, is a vase with flowers, and at the bottom it says Vetein Bracha. That's been hanging on our wall since Pesach, and it's coming down tonight and exchanged for this one with the umbrellas, which say on it Vetein Tal Umatar. Okay. Now there's a whole bunch of details here, and I'm probably going to confuse people, but I wrote it up for the website, and you could find the link there with a lot of the details. Now let me start at the place I like to start with this. Rambam Maimonides says that there's a mitzvah taseh in the Torah to pray every day. The details of that prayer, how many times we say it, how often, that's the same thing. The text of the prayer, none of that is d'oraita. It's all d'rabbanan. The Rambam holds that essentially prayer is d'oraita, Torah law, but all of the details were in the hands of Chazal. The Ramban even further, and he says none of prayer is from the Torah, or I shouldn't say it like that. What we have from the Torah is our episodes of prayer, the Avot and Imahot and Avraham and Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Chazal have commanded us to daven and said it at three times a day and gave us the siddur with the text for davening, that was rabbinic, as well as the command to daven. The Ramban Shita is Torah didn't have to tell you to pray. It's a natural thing to do. The Torah gave you examples of people davening, and Chazal filled in the rest with the details. One way or the other, I say that in introduction because when it comes to additions and changes in the Amidah and in Birkat HaMazon, not only did Chazal create those, they said that when it's Chanukah, you say Al HaNisim in davening and in benching. And when it's Shabbos, you say Ritzeh in Birkat HaMazon. And when it's Aseret Yemei Tshuva, you say Zachreinu and HaMelech HaKadosh, et cetera, in the Amidah. Those are all rabbinic rules. And each one comes along with what to do in case you make a mistake and you don't say it. Now, I believe that Chazal could have gone in one of two ways, and that is to say, if you're supposed to add something to the Amidah or to Birkat HaMazon and you forget it, say it again. Or they could have said, if you forget to add something to Birkat HaMazon or make a change, then don't forget it, leave it stand, don't repeat, and next time you be more careful. What they did was something in between those two extremes. In other words, each rule has its own details as to what to do in the case that you forget. So, and sometimes it might be counterintuitive or illogical. For example, you have a Purim Seuda, a lovely meal, good wines, a lot of fun. Somebody made gramen, and you're eating and enjoying your company. And now it comes to Birkat HaMazon, and you forgot Yalav Al Hanisim. So you say to yourself, how can I forget Al Hanisim at a Purim Seuda? So you might think that you should bench again. And the answer is, it's not up to you what you think. It's a halacha. And that is, if you forget Al HaNisim, you don't repeat Birkat HaMazon. Even if you want to, even if you think you should, you don't. It's not up to us to choose. On the other hand, let's take the example coming up tonight. Vetein Tal Umatar Livracha begins tonight in Eretz Yisrael. in Chutz La'aretz. It begins on December 4th at night this year. And we'll talk about why we have an English date, they have an English date, and we have a Hebrew date. But if a person during the Vatein Talu Matar season makes a mistake and says only Vatein Bracha, you might think that, okay, he made a mistake. He should have asked for Talu Matar Livracha. But what did he do instead? He said Vatein Bracha. That sounds good. So maybe I should not repeat the entire Amidah of 19 brachot, which declare the first Amidah that I said to be 19 bracha levatalas, or brachot levatala. And I shouldn't repeat it. Just be more careful next time. Plenty of other people will say v'tein talu matar livracha when they're supposed to. Comes the halacha and says, if you leave Talu Matar out of the Amidah during the period that you're supposed to say it, you have to repeat the entire Amidah. Yes, 19 bracha levatala. And what's more important is that you pray with the request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of giving us rain, dew and rain as a blessing. Doesn't seem logical, especially look at it from our point of view in Israel. Tomorrow, we're going to be saying B'tein Talu Matar Livracha. Guys in Chutz La'aretz are going to still continue to say B'tein Bracha. So when we make a mistake here and we don't say B'tein Talu Matar Livracha, we're saying the same thing that's accepted from their tefillot, and yet our tefillah is invalid. And the details get even more complicated. What about a person who came to Israel yesterday? He arrived yesterday. He's here for 2 weeks. Tonight, if he goes to shul for Ma'ariv, he's going to hear a klop right before the Amidah, and someone will say, V'tein talu matar livracha, meaning, make sure you say it in the Amidah. What's he supposed to do? So on the one hand, he's only here for 2 weeks. He does not say V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, even though the rest of the shul is, and the rest of the country is. He does like the place he comes from. Let's say it was Kew Gardens Hills, Queens, just to pick at random a place where I used to live. He comes here, and he does not say V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, because he's only going to be here for 2 weeks. Next question is a student in a gap year who's here for a year. He says, V'tein talu matar livracha, like us. What happens if he goes back home, is planning on going back home before Pesach? That means he's not only is he not here for a full year, he's not here for the full Talu Matar season. So there are those who say, and a lot of the Rosh Yeshivot of and the Rebbes of these 1 year Yeshivot and seminaries will tell them to continue saying V'tein Bracha in the regular place in the Amidah, and in Shema Kolenu add V'tein Talu Matar Livracha. That's sort of a compromise. Now, get back to the first example that I gave. Yeah, the traveler who's here for 2 weeks. Let's say he doesn't know this. And let's say he hears the klop tonight, Talu Matar, and he says it. And then he realizes that he said it when he's finished, and he goes over to the Rav of the shul, or he calls up a friend, the Rav, whatever, and he says, what am I supposed to do? I said, V'tein talu matar livracha, even though I shouldn't have. The answer that some will give, it's a little bit sketchy because there are different opinions, but the answer that you will be told is continue to say, V'tein talu matar livracha, because you started, and taking it away is like invoking the opposite. So here's a situation. He's here for 2 weeks and he says, B'tein talumata livracha, because he said it the first night. And now he goes home. And they're still, not December 4th yet, and they're still saying V'tein Bracha. He continues saying V'tein Talu Matar Livracha. He's a chazan. Can't be the chazan. Shouldn't be the chazan. But he is during the week. He gets the Amud. He has to say V'tein Bracha out loud in the States because he would totally confuse everybody. If he were to say in the repetition of the Amidah, V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, everybody would correct him. So ideally, he should avoid being the Baal Tefillah if he has no choice. Or let's say he's an Ovel and he takes the Omud. Then he should say in his private Amidah, V'tein Talumata Livracha, and in his repetition, V'tein Bracha. It's complicated and it gets more complicated. But the essential idea that when you're supposed to say B'tein Talu Matar Livracha and you don't is considered a fatal flaw in the Amidah, which it didn't have to be. I want to emphasize that. Chazal could have said, let it go. Because they said it with Alei Nisim and they say it with Zochreinu L'Chaim, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, you're davening and you said Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, and then you hit your head and you say to yourself, I forgot to say Zochreinu L'Chaim. You don't say it. Continue. HaMelech HaKadosh, that's another story. You say HaKel HaKadosh during a Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and you don't catch yourself in 2 or 3 seconds. You have to start all over again. So first, you have to know these different differences. But what I'm looking at is not just knowing the differences, but getting an insight as to why Chazal chose in one case to repeat and another case not to repeat, because they didn't have to do that. So most people, who learn the details, and a siddur will help, the siddur in tiny print above V'tein Bracha, V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, the weekday Amidah, will say, you know, if you mess this up, then you have to repeat, or you say in Shema Kolenu, which we'll talk about also. But they don't tell you why. They don't tell you the message, the takeaway message. And I believe the takeaway message is two things. Number one, rain is very important to us. And I say us, I mean everybody in the world. Although in places around the world, of which there are many, where it rains all throughout the year, they still need rain, but they get it all year round. If you have a rainy season and a dry season, it's even more important that we have beneficial rain, Gishmei Bracha, during Gishmei Veracha, during the period when we're asking for Talumot. So rain is important, and that's why Chazal emphasized that by saying, you didn't say Talamata, repeat. The second thing is that davening is important. Davening is not just lip service. We said on Yom Kippur, Al Chait Shechatonu Lefonecha B'Vidui Peh. Vidui Peh means verbal confession, which you didn't mean in your heart. But I'm expanding it now to include anything that we daven that is only lips and not our heart. When we say tonight for the first time in Israel, V'tein tal umatar livracha, or those who don't daven Ma'ariv, like females who don't daven Ma'ariv, some do. So tomorrow when they daven, whatever they daven, Shacharis, Mincha, they're going to say V'tein tal umatar livracha, say it like you mean it, or mean it like you say it. I like that. Mean it like you say it. Susan?
Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've often wondered why in Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, why it is so important to say Hokel HaKadosh.
No, HaMelech HaKadosh.
HaMelech HaKadosh. And that it means that you have to repeat the whole Amida if you don't say it. Why, what is so essential to those two words?
Look, we should have been struck by the fact that a major portion of the Musaf is about God's kingship, and we call that first set of brachot and psukim malchiot, the first set of three tashrats and three tarats of tashrat, tashat and tarat, shofar blowing, is to proclaim him as melech. The world was created the sixth day of creation. When we were created, God became Melech. I mentioned Rosh Hashanah time, that there's no king if there's no subjects. And, we don't refer to God as the king of the animal world, but he's the king of human beings. And Chazal determined that that's a significant point. And they wanted to emphasize it. Now, your question is stronger because what do we say every single day? Ata gibor le'olam Hashem mechaye meitim ata rav loshia. No, melech ozer u'moshia u'magen. So we're saying that he's the melech. During the weekday Amidah, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we say melech, no. Melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat, and that's changed to ha-melech ha-mishpat. When we say every Shabbos and Yom Tov, in the end of Nishmat before Shochenad, ha-melech ha-yoshev al kisei rom v'nisa, the king that sits on a throne. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say HaMelech Yoshev. He is not the one who sits, he is sitting on a throne. And I believe that's what guided Chazal to insist on it. Now, you have to understand, had the halacha been, we say Melech enough times in the davening that if you mess up HaMelech HaKadosh, you don't have to repeat, then I would be saying something different now. And that's part of my point here. I'm trying to look, it's not an objective view. It's not which do I think would make more sense to repeat or not to repeat, because we, you and I, are not on the committee of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah to determine those rules. But somebody was. Great people were. And when they said it, I can imagine that they argued it. No, I don't think we should make people repeat it because we say HaMelech seven different times in the Amidah. I don't know, I just made up that number. And another one said, yeah, but the whole focus of Aseret Yemei Tshuva is that. And then you add to the fact that Zochreinu L'chaim, Melech Chafetz B'chaim, if you skip that, you don't repeat. So you scratch your head and you say, HaMelech HaKadosh, you're so fanatic about that if you don't correct Hakel HaKadosh in 2 to 3 seconds, call that 2.5 seconds, you have to repeat the whole Amidah, and Zochreinu, and B'Sefer Chaim, Bracha V'Shalom, you skip that, you don't go back. More, in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where we start with Atah Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh, we add all of the rest till HaMelech HaKadosh, talking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur now, not Aseret Yemei Tshuva, not only during the week, but you add Uvechem Tein Kavod, Tein, whatever, oh, I have a sitter here, but Tein Uvechem Tzadikim, all of that. If you daven and you forget that, you don't have to go back and repeat. If you finish the end of that particular bracha, here, I'll show you exactly what I mean. Let's take Shacharis on Yom Kippur. Silent Amidah. Ata Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh u'Kadoshim b'chol yom yahaluch haSela. Pause. Now say, Uvechein tein pachtecha, Uvechein tein kavod, Uvechein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu, v'timloch ata, Kadosh Atah v'Nora Shemecha, which finishes with Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. Let's say you slipped and you said, Atah Kadosh. This is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Atah Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh, U'Kedoshim B'chol Yom Yaluch HaSela, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. And then you go, oops, silently to yourself, that you forgot all of these things, which are very important. You don't go back. So as I say, we do not objectively make these rules. We have the rules already made, and I try to make rhyme or reason with them, and some are more successful and some are not. Al Hanisim, for example, Purim and Chanukah are rabbinic, as opposed to Yalav Yavo from Yom Tov, which is D'oraita. So Chazal said, let the Amidah stand when it's Al Hanisim that you missed, rather than invalidate 19 brachot, because a brachah of Atala is a violation of a Torah law. Lo tisa et shem Elokecha lashav. Some want to say that's not only swearing falsely in God's name, but it's taking a bracha lebatala. And they opted for, okay, you missed Al Hanisim, let it go. On Chol HaMoed Sukkot, they said, sorry, Chol HaMoed Sukkot is part of Sukkot. It's a Do'oraita. You miss Yalav Yavo in the Amidah. You have to repeat the whole thing. So that's to me an easy one to explain, D'oraita versus D'rabbanan. But the things with Zochreinu L'chaim and HaMelech HaKadosh, not as easy. When it comes to rain, it's interesting because I told you a couple of weeks ago when we started Talumotar, and when we started Mashiv HaRuach, Morid HaGeshem, there if you make a mistake and you say Morid HaTal, it's okay. Because Morid HaTal acknowledges God as part of the weather system, that it's his system. And that seems to be more important than if you don't say v'tein talumot ha'livracha, because there, when you leave it out, you only say v'tein bracha, and you're not petitioning God for rainfall. So it gets, a little. And then we get to the farmers in the southern hemisphere. Let's not talk about farmers. Let's talk about regular people. I'm going to sneeze. That was a cough. Jews who live in Melbourne, Australia, for example, come December 4th, will say v'tein talumot ha'livracha just like people living in London and in New York. Why? Because it rains all year round in Melbourne, and therefore it's not against their intuition, if that's the best word, I don't know, to ask for rain. But if there's a community somewhere in the southern hemisphere, let's say somewhere in Argentina, that has a rainy season and a dry season, and the people do not want it to rain during the dry season because that can ruin crops, that could breed mosquitoes that carry sometimes diseases, and people could get sick. So what are they supposed to do come December 4th? Come the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, that's not their problem because that's only Eretz Yisrael that starts then. But come December 4th, a person in the southern hemisphere who lives in a community where they don't want it to rain during their summertime is allowed not to say v'tein talu matar livracha. He can say v'tein bracha. Now, you might think that v'tein talu matar livracha is talking about beneficial rain for Eretz Yisrael, in which case, what difference does it make if he lives in Argentina and Zimbabwe or in New York or in London? The answer is it's also for local. And his heart will not be in saying v'tein talu matar livracha when he's hoping it's not going to rain. Therefore, he has halachic permission not to say v'tein talu matan livracha. This does not apply to everybody in the Southern Hemisphere. If you live in a community, in an area where it rains all the time throughout the seasons, then you have to follow the world's rule of December 4th. But if you live in a place which has rainy and dry seasons, and rain would be harmful, you're allowed to leave it out. Now, what about the other half of the year? What about our summertime when these people in the farming community in Zimbabwe want it very much to rain? And if it's dry, they will lose their crops and starve. So they are not allowed to ask for talu matar in the normal way. In other words, in the bracha of Borech Aleinu, in our summertime, they have to say v'tein bracha. But come to Shema Kolenu, they have permission, if they really need rain, to ask God there for v'tein talu matar livracha. Again, I say, all of these are given to us as the rules we need to take away lessons from them. And that is that people are supposed to be praying sincerely. And that means not just with their lips, but with their hearts. And there's a juggle here between local needs and universal needs, or the needs of Eretz Yisrael. In New York, rains all the time, and no reason to change from the rule of the rest of the world, even though, ironically, it came originally from Bavel, which is Iraq, part of Iraq, and part of Iran, I think. So let's talk about that for a moment. Why 7th of Mar Cheshvan for us in Israel, and a later time, and a secular date for those in Chutz Laaretz? So it goes like this. The Mishnah states, Ein sho'alim geshamim, ella samuch l'geshamim. We don't ask God for rain until it's close to when we need rain. In Israel, the Mishnah says that time is really right after Sukkot, but we wait 2 weeks till the 7th of Mar Cheshvan tonight in order. Now, this is anachronistic because it goes back to the time of the Beit HaMikdash. And in the time of the future Beit HaMikdash, it won't be the same kind of situation. To the time where it took days and days and up to 2 weeks for people to return from the Chag, celebrating it in Yerushalayim, to get back to their homes in wherever they came from. And therefore, rather than make them start v'tein talu matar livracha from 7th of Mar Cheshvan, the halacha is, I'm sorry, from Sukkot, when they don't want it to rain, because they're going to be on roads that are muddy for days and days, and they're not dressed for the situation. We say everybody in Eretz Yisrael will wait for the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. Now it turns out that in Bavel, the climate was different. The elevation was different. It was like sea level kind of situation. And rain was not needed as early as we need it in Eretz Yisrael. And based on the Mishnah that says, Ein sho'alim geshamim, ela samach l'geshamim, they waited. How much did they wait? The official rule was 60 days, that's 2 months, following Tekufat Tishrei. Tekufat Tishrei in the secular world is the autumnal equinox, the beginning of fall. Summer ends, fall begins at September 21st or something like that. changes slightly from year to year. And 60 days later would be November 21st or so. So what's it doing in December 4th? This has to do with the change in the calendar during the 16th century, 17th century, 18th century, wherever it was done in different countries, from what's called the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. Now, since Susan is already dozing off, I could be specific and detailed and it won't bother her that much. But it goes like this. Once upon a time, people estimated the time, the length of a year, at 365 days. Sometime thereafter, but a long time ago, they realized that it's a little bit more than 365 days, talking about what's called a solar year. And they calculated that it's 365 and a quarter years, days in a year. So they came up with this idea that most years will have 365 days, and every 4 years we'll add a day called a leap year, February 29th, and that will average out to 365 and a quarter days, which means the calendar will pretty much follow the seasons of the year. If that number is too short or too long, then the seasons are not going to match up, and over years, they're going to be a big difference between the calendar and the actual seasons. So, since the January-February calendar was constructed to be based on the solar year, they wanted to make sure that in the Northern Hemisphere, January-February was in the winter time, and March was the beginning of the spring, and June and July and August were the summertime. And that's not going to happen unless the number is accurate. So when they woke up to realize that 365 days and a quarter is too long, and the seasons were separating year after year slowly from the calendar, they made a decision. They changed the rule of leap year. It's now once every 4 years, except at the years that end in 00, except every four of those. And that comes very close to the accurate length of a year. That means that 1896 divisible by four was a leap year. 1900 was not a leap year, even though it should have been because it's divisible by four. 1800 was not, 1700 was not, 1800 was not, 1900 was not, 2000 was. 2100 will not be a leap year. And that adjustment did not make up for the distance between the calendar and the seasons. So they made another decision, which in some countries was put in the 1700s and some others later, and that was to arbitrarily remove 11 days from the calendar. They said, and this happened in the United States in 1752, where September 3rd was followed by September 14th. There was no September 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, or 13th that year. And it's an interesting calendar to pull up on the computer because it's short. They did that to readjust to the calendar. But the rule for Talumatar follows the Julian calendar, and we put back the 11 days, which changes each century. And that's why it went from late November to early December. If you followed that, fine. If not, I was just talking to myself, and I don't mind because I enjoy the calendar and all of its intricacies. You should also know that January and February used to be the last 2 years of the months of the calendar, not the first two, which is why February is the short one. And that's why September, which means the seventh month, is not the seventh month, it's the ninth month. But if you start from March, April, May, June, July, August, September is the seventh month, October is the eighth month, November is the ninth month, and December, DEC, is 10. And then you had January and February. And what's nice about that is the calendar then matched up with our calendar because Nisan is in the springtime, and they had March as the beginning of the year. And I don't remember why they switched it to start with January and February, but it sort of broke the seasonal thing. So,
Well,
bottom line, in Bavel, which the rest of the world follows, its timing, it goes by the secular calendar because the secular calendar relates to the seasons. You should realize that the seventh of Mar Cheshvan, or Sukkot, or Yom Kippur, is not always at the same time of the year as the secular calendar. So when we say, which is I like to correct, but when we say Rosh Hashanah is early this year, it's not Rosh Hashanah that's early, because Rosh Hashanah is always on time, the first day of Tishrei and the second. But when we say it, what we mean is that it's in September and not in the beginning of October. And that changes the climate. So to say that the beginning of our rain, when we need it to rain, is the seventh of Mar Cheshvan, is really off. But that was the time fixed by the Mishnah, and that's the time we follow. Comments or questions? You see, this is why I get a little itchy here. When I say regular stuff and I have no questions coming from you, I can understand that. But on this topic and all the weird things that I threw at you, you should have had a
I
question.
have a question. I have a comment and two
Okay,
comments, actually,
Jean,
if
add your
you'll
comment.
allow me. One is I'm thinking what a great pub quiz question that is. Which year did they lose 14 days, did you say?
No, 11 or 10.
11. I think I've never heard that before, and that's amazing.
No,
Absolutely amazing.
we went from what's called the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, even though Gregorian calendar is named after Pope Gregory, and the Julian calendar is named after Julius Caesar. Those are the names of the calendar. Now, different
Take that
countries.
one off.
Different
I'll try and
countries
make it
did
come
it
off
at
the
different
suffer quiz.
times. The United States, I think, went along with England because we were still colonies at the time, and that was 1752. Russia didn't do it till much later. And that's why, I don't remember which year, one of the Olympics where there was a full Russian team that was supposed to participate, they came 11 days late to the competition, and they missed the whole thing. That's a famous example. You know, it had a lot of traffic, so we were a little late. That explains an
Another
hour. They were
quiz
11 days
question.
late because their calendar hadn't been changed yet, and nobody
Another
thought
great.
of saying it. Sort of like different way when we have a bar mitzvah boy that comes from the States to Israel, and he's studied the wrong parsha because we're out of sync. And there's sort of not a lot to do because he spent months and months studying. And there's a way of handling it, but or what happened now? We got 1 week of standard time in Israel and 1 week continuing with daylight savings time in the States. And therefore, if we call somebody thinking that it's already 11 o'clock at night, and you could still call, but it's really 12 o'clock at night, and you're waking them up, or whatever, if you get the way it works.
Well,
Okay, if we're finish with that. I will finish by saying tonight at Maariv, or any time thereafter, we start saying Matein Talu Matar Livracha. Know the rules and take them seriously. Now, we didn't discuss if you said Mevarech Hashanim, and then you realize that you didn't say Matein Talu Matar Livracha. You don't have to begin from the beginning. You continue until Shema Kolenu, because that's a catch-all place for prayer. And towards the end, you say Matein Talu Matar Livracha there. This way, it saves you a bunch of bracha levatala, and is still considered acceptable. However, once you pass Shomea Tefillah and you start Ritzeh, and you realize that you forgot, you have to go back to Borech Aleinu, even though that's going to be more bracha levatala that you're canceling. But that's where the bracha really belongs. That's where the petition for rain really belongs. The next question is, what happens if you're not sure whether you said it? I take my steps back, and immediately I can't remember if I said Vitein Talu Matar Livracha or not. An immediate doubt is answered by habit. If habit has not been established to say B'tein Talu Matar Livracha, then when you're not sure whether you said it, you assume you didn't, and you have to repeat. After 90 times, which means if you daven 3 times a day, 30 weekdays, which will be 5 weeks, whatever it says on the calendar, then if you make a mistake, if you're not sure, if you doubt whether you said it correctly or not, you could assume that a habit has taken place, has developed. Now, what's interesting also is that if your doubt comes in later, remember I said immediate doubt. Instead, you daven the Amidah, took your steps back, you continue davening, and after davening, it hits you. Did I say the Tein Talu Matar Livracha or not? You don't have to go back. Because a real doubt only happens when it's immediate. I don't know if that's really provable, but that's what the halacha is. You have to realize that you either said it or you didn't say it. If you said it, then how to nullify brachot? If you didn't say it, you have to say them again. But we don't know, and we don't have instant replay, an audio record of what we davened. If we did, you just play it back and you say, oh, I forgot, or yes, I remembered. So Chazal, in the rule of Suffolk, wanted to maximize the probability that they're guessing right, because that's all it is a guess. Okay? Couple of words about the Parsha. I think I mentioned this, but maybe I didn't, but I did a little bit more checking on it. At the very end of Parshat Noach, it tells us that Terach died having lived 205 years. Terach was 70 years old when Avraham Avinu was born. That means at Terach's death, Avraham was 135. In the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, it tells us, not by Medrash and not by Mefarshim, but it tells us by text, that Avraham was 75 years old when he came to Eretz Canaan. So that was 60 years after the very end of Parshat Noach, 60 years before the very end of Parshat Noach. And the Mefarshim explained why Terach's death was mentioned, even though it was out of chronological order. But it gets a little complicated because different Mefarshim have different opinions on this, and they're really filling in the blanks. So a lot of it is speculation, and I don't know how much is based on sources, because otherwise there wouldn't be a machloket. But it goes like this. The speculation is that God told Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha mi'moladetecha mi'beit avicha, well before the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha. He told it back when Avraham was either 70 or 75 years old. Terach was still around for another 60 or 65 years. And that's why the Torah in the end of Parshat Noach tells us that Terach took Avraham and his bride Sarai, Avram and Sarai, and his other living son Nahor and his bride Milcah, and grandson Lot, who was the son of Haran, who had died already. So Terach had three sons. And they traveled towards Eretz Canaan. But they ended up on the way in Haran, and that's where they stayed and lived for the rest of Terach's life. Avraham either, excuse me, left right away, or possibly 5 years later, which is why the Sedra today tells us, this week, tells us that he was 75. So let's say they got the call. He got the call of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Mi'moladetecha, because Haran wasn't his birthplace. And Moladetecha, according to most opinions, means your birthplace. So it doesn't fit that the command should have been in Haran. It should have been in Ur Kasdim, which was Abraham's birthplace. So if he got the command back then and the whole family started. Excuse me. If the whole family started out towards Eretz Canaan when Avraham was 70, and that meant that Sarai was 60 because they were 10 years apart, and they stayed in Haran on the way, and that's where Terach continued to live. Ostensibly, that's where Nahor and Milcah lived and raised their families, and Avraham and Sarai and Lot with them. And the Nefesh Asher Asu b'Charan continued on the journey to Eretz Yisrael. So that's how some of the Mefarshim work out this discrepancy. And I found that interesting, as I do many times. I've told you this in the past. When you learn Chumash for the first time, nobody bothers with these things. You have Bible stories. And it all seems, well, that's what it is. And then when you learn it again, and again when you're older, and again when you're even older, you start learning Mefarshim and you start saying, hey, it's not what I was taught when I was a kid. Well, that's good because you're supposed to grow. So what you're taught in first grade or second grade is not necessarily what you're going to end up with as an adult, provided you take seriously the developments. Okay, we'll stop so I could cough in peace.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Next year, tomorrow, correct?
Next year, tomorrow, yeah.
Thank you.
Phil, Rafael Shalena, feel
Yeah.
better.